That what Jack said was really right on the money. We're not coming here just to worship any God. We want to worship the true God, and that means we need to know the true God. That means we have to worship Him as He wants to be worshipped. We need to know Him as He is really known. Yes. Not our own conceptions, not somebody else's conceptions, but that which is true about who God really is. And that's what's really important for us. We're not coming together here just because we like each other and we've grown used to each other. And, there's something more. And it's eventful. There's something to get out of us fellowshipping together, coming together here. We don't have a lot today because of lots of different reasons, but I guess this is who we are supposed to have.
That's right. Yeah.
And so wherever two or more are gathered together, there He is. And so this is important for us, that we realize that the Lord Jesus is in our midst. He ministers. He is ministering to us as we take a hold of it. Now, you know, we can miss things, can't we?
Yes.
You know, we're driving down the road and there's some deer on the side of the road, and if I don't happen to look over, I miss it.
Jim did.
saw some deer today. I didn't see the deer. Yeah, but if you're looking, and in our case, if we're seeking, we're going to find. Isn't that what the scripture tells us?
Yes.
And so when we really are, we're going to be right where God wants us to be, and we're going to receive of Him. The message today is dealing with the war on information. There's a lot of false things out there, and I think all of us have said, "Gosh, how can we tell what's true and what's false? There's just so much junk in this perspective and that perspective." And thank God that we have the Word of God, which is truth. And I like what Reggie had there about the Word of God, because if there's anything that we know that the Bible is God's Word, and that that is the font of truth. That's where we go. That's where, if we're confused about something, we can go there and we can find the answer, can't we? We can find out the truth of things. So I liked how all of that got pieced together there before I got up here. This is a funny kind of thing, because normally I have a piece of paper that's about this big, and I just have a couple little things jotted down. I have one full page, 555 words printed out there. And then I wrote some other stuff when we were doing having the songs up at the top. But it doesn't mean that it's going to be that much longer. It's just that there were certain things that I wanted to make sure that I said. And so I wrote them down. I just felt that was what I was supposed to do today. And the other thing is, I normally have all kinds of scriptures. I got one. One scripture. Now, I'm going to allude to other things that are in the scripture. It isn't like this is just built on my own thoughts. It's built on the scripture. And I hope that any place that you go and hear the Word of God, that it's really the Word of God and not just somebody talking off the top of his head. So what you're going to hear is based on the scripture, although I'm only going to take you to one of them
so far.
So far, as I know. So, you know, there's, with all this deception that's in the world, it's good that we have the Spirit of God within us, and it's good that we have the Word of God to help us. But I want to say that Jesus even said that toward the end of the age, that that it is possible that even the elect could be deceived. There's all this deception, there's all this false stuff that's out there. Well, I was thinking about this. How can the elect, how can we who are God's family, how can we be deceived? Well, you know, when you look at it, the enemy is the master of lies. He's real good. He's real good at lying, isn't he?
Yes.
And he knows how to trick you and me. He has his little traps that he sets and gets us to think a certain way, and then something happens that he's all lined up, and then kaboom, we fall into these stupid things. So we have that going on. The other thing that he does with the church, he uses scriptures. He takes scriptures and twists them around. So that the scriptures being used, the Christian vocabulary is being used, but it's not the truth. That can happen, can't it? And I'm very concerned about this. And I think this is something for us to be aware of, so that we're prayerful, we don't fall into anything. But even more than that, because I feel that we know these things, and we are looking and trying to be careful as we can not to fall into some trap of the enemy. But to be praying for our brothers and sisters that are open to things that they should not be open to. I hope and pray that one of the things that you walk away from here today with is a burden for the church to not get involved with the deception that the enemy is bringing.
Amen.
In this world. The scripture tells us it comes in like a flood. And if you look at what's going on in the world, it's very obvious that the way things are happening in the world, there's so much input that it's a battle in our minds to determine, well, who's telling the truth here, and what's the truth there, and how am I going to know the difference, and who doesn't really even make a difference, and you know, your head can start spinning around. And so this is important for us to walk through this life that we don't get snookered. You know? And so many people, Christians, are being snookered. They're being caught by a lie, and they're believing it's truth. They're believing it's the Holy Spirit leading them. They're believing these things that are not true. They're not of the Lord. And I've already talked about some of this stuff already in previous messages. And these people are, I would say most of them, are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And they're being led astray. Do you know some of the things I'm talking about? I hope you do. Because I don't want to go back into those again. Now, I want to go back and just review here last week's message. So this is where I have some things written down, because I wanted to make sure that we have this. Last week it was about our character. We were tying up loose ends, and it was about character. And when we talk about character, we're talking about the spirit of a person, the heart of a person, because that overall place that you are in your life, That's the spirit that you portray. And we talk about how you, with your human spirit, you have the Holy Spirit, because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. But we have a spirit too, don't we? And that spirit is our conscience. It's our heart. It's the way we approach life. It's our attitude, and it's all wrapped up with our will, with the decisions that we make, with our emotions, with our intellect, and that's our soul. And soul and spirit are all connected together. Isn't that right?
Yes.
You can't separate them apart because one feeds the other. We talked about last week how our spirit, the scripture says that God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. When you look at the word spirit, it means breath. And so God gave us this ability to have life in His image. He made us in His image. And He breathed that life into us. Now, His Holy Spirit remains holy and undefiled. But we could be defiled. Our spirit can get defiled. And we've talked about this. It's described in the Bible. You can have a critical spirit. You can, that doesn't sound too godly to me. You can have a stubborn spirit. I can go right down a whole list of things. I wrote a few of them down. Let me see.
If I can find it.
Oh yeah, a proud spirit, a critical spirit, a stubborn spirit, a bitter spirit, a foolish spirit. And there's a whole bunch more, but that's all I wrote down. But you can see that our spirit can get muddied up. This breath of life that we get that gives us a conscience, gives us a heart, but it can get muddied. And we don't, you know, that's what we're looking to have changed. Our character needs to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's the process that we're in when we come to Christ. Then God says, well, I'm not done with you. He says, we're in this process to be conformed to the image of Christ. So that's what we're in right now, isn't it? To be conformed to His image. To develop the character, the heart, the attitude toward God that Jesus had with the Father. Is that what we're doing? How are we doing in this? See? And we need to really understand. We shouldn't take this too lightly. Oh, well, everything's okay. You know, I'm saved and everything's fine and God loves me. And all of those things are true. But we don't want to use that as an excuse not to press on toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ. Somebody's going there. And I want to make sure I'm going in that direction. I want all of us to be going in that direction. Do you want to go in that direction? You know, that's you know, something you've got to check out in your own spirit. You know, not only can we have these kinds of things, the scripture also talks about having a conscience that's seared. We can get hardened. We can be cauterized, hardened over, where we don't hear the voice of God, because we've rejected what He's been saying to us. We've avoided hearing Him talk, and so our conscience can become seared. And then we're wondering, what's God saying? Why isn't He helping me? And I'll tell you why. He's trying to speak to us every day. Yeah, He is. And our ability to hear has a lot to do with our character. How much we're giving ourselves over to the process of Him conforming us to His image. Yeah. And this is what I want to talk about as far as today goes, because, you know, we don't want to be those that get deceived in this time of great deception. Well, a person who's allowing God to change them is not going to be deceived. We can get off the mark a little bit. We might go down this little rabbit trail for a while, but if we have a heart for God, God will get us back on the right track again. Won't He? Do you believe that about Jesus? And what is it really that's going to help us? I look at the church, and if we look at what's going on in the church, we step back and we look at what's going on in the church in general. And I'm looking really more at American Christianity. And just like I said, you know, it seems like it's more American than it's Christianity. You know, there's things that we've got to recognize that don't fit with the word we want to avoid or have enough input in particular in the church that we're in where that bad thing gets turned around in the life of the church. But we're hearing this message for a purpose. So So what is it? So I want you to turn to John 14, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6. And this is the heart of the whole thing. Our character is going to determine the level of deception that we're open to. And, you know, I'm sure people in here say, well, that's not going to happen to me. You know, God's going to protect me. God's going to protect you as far as you will allow Him to protect you. But you and I can't make the rules by which He's going to do that. We don't say, you're God, you must take care of me. I can do as I want. I can have my own ideas about what worship is. I can have my own ideas about how much I'm going to give to you in my life. But then I expect you to do what I want you to do for me. Protect me. See, it doesn't work that way. God is God, not us. Right? And we have a responsibility to know what it is that, who He is, and what it is that we're to do. Right? Isn't that how it should be? So, if we look at John 14, 6, it says this, and Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Now, we can look at that as just a salvation message. You can't get into heaven unless you believe in Jesus. But there seems to be something more here too. Now, He's the way, isn't He? He's the way, and He's the truth. Yesterday, Gary and I were out snowshoeing, and I'll say me. I thought I knew where we were walking. We found a pin. Off of that pin, we were going to walk, and I'm figuring out where we were, and you know, Gary's leading, but so we were going along, and we seem to. Gary says, "This isn't right. We're in some trees that aren't on this property yet. We got off we went too far. We got around. And so we're trying to figure it all out. And Gary's looking at his compass.
And he says,
I think we're going in the absolute wrong direction. We need to turn around and go in that direction, according to the compass. I said, no, Gary. No. I said, no, that can't be right. You know? And so he said, well, I think we should follow the compass. And I said, okay, you're the boss, go ahead. So I followed him, you know? So, and so eventually we worked our way back, and Gary said, you know what? We got turned around in a circle. We had actually walked a little tiny circle. And so I was totally not knowing where I was. And Gary, do you want to say anything about that? Maybe, you know, bring some clarity here.
Yeah, we were, you know, all the snow and the trees, so it was different. And just to start off here, both Mark and I looked at each other and says, there's a message here. This is something. So kind of correlated as snow and the trees. So we're being kind of deceptive. Everything looks the same. We're just moseying along, not looking at the compass at all. So we're not counting on Jesus at all
anymore. Yeah. The compass is Jesus. We want to get that.
We're just moseying along, thinking we know where we're going. All right? So we get into unfamiliar territory. I'm looking around and no, we're not in the same area anymore. So I fell back to nothing. It's like, what do you mean? So it is, you know, the Lord tapping us and saying, you're not going where you should be going.
You're not relying on who you should be relying on, what you should be relying on.
So at that point, you look at your compass, you look at the Lord's word, and you know what the truth. And saying, oh my, we're going to go that way. Thanks a lot. He's just like, looks at me, he says, no way. He says, that's I'm telling you. He says, you got to trust the God. You got to trust the Lord here. And you know, so we just kind of looked at each other and this is really false truth to life.
Yes.
And when we venture off or we know it all and we're going to do it our way, and it gets us in, it's to catch ourselves.
Yeah.
And trust, like in this case, the compass, and we were able to get back even after.
Yes.
Even after. Another place, and Malcolm's like, which way is he's not thinking like this. And I said, no.
How long did we be in
the world? But you know, see, we get a little knowledge of the Lord, and we think we can just go on our own, and we lose that dependency, that making sure that we're moving in the right direction kind of attitude, that kind of spirit that we really need. Even when Gary got us turned around, like he was saying, I was looking at where we were and where we were starting out, and Gary started going back in the direction that I had thought we had just come from. And I'm thinking, what's he going back there for? He's going right back to where we just found out we were all messed up, but we needed to go there to get to where we needed to go. But I didn't understand that. And so I'm thinking we have to go in this direction, and Gary's heading in that direction. And then when it was like the light went on at one point. We came to where there was a brook, and all of a sudden it hit me. Oh, I see. I understand now. Do you have those moments, those spiritual moments, where you go, oh, what a dodo. God has been saying this to me, and I've missed it all this time. If I just were to just stayed in the flow, you know, we can get satisfied with where we are in Christ, you know, and miss out on all this going in the right direction, you know. Go ahead.
It's again that correlation between the compass and Jesus, that when you start a little walk like this, if you're always paying attention to your compass, especially when you can't see no landmarks, so now you can accurately get exactly to where you want to go. Well, that's the way it is with using Jesus as your guide and following Him, is that you're constantly with Him. And He'll bring you there.
Yeah.
If not, we wander.
Yeah, we wander.
We wander.
We wander.
You know, unless we see landmarks, we see, like, you know, we come to church and we talk and we fellowship and it kind of bounces us back in the right direction. But without any, you know, any landscape or anything to look at, we wander. We have to keep our eye on that compass.
Yeah. And Jesus is that and Jesus is the compass. Jesus is that focus. You know, if we start focusing in on worship, if we focus in on fellowship, if we focus in on any particular aspect of our walk with God and not on Jesus, we're not following the compass. We're following something else. Glenn, what's this?
Yeah, lately I've been kind of challenged with things that I thought I knew and find out maybe I don't. And not that it's unusual, but...
We're all there, Glenn.
The same illustration you guys are talking about is that you were on a piece of property you thought you knew.
Yeah.
And yet the enemy throws a little snow.
Mm-hmm.
And gives you a snow job.
Yeah.
Snooker. And all of a sudden you realize you don't know that as well as you think you do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same for the Word.
Yeah.
And we think we know a scripture, we've had that all settled for 45 years, and then all of a sudden the Lord throws a monkey wrench in it and we're starting at square one.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really does take a humbleness. I had to say to Gary, I guess I was wrong. And you know how you don't like to say that. You don't like to say, especially to your spouse. Oh, dear, I'm wrong about it. I'm sorry. You know, you don't like to have to say that. You're not. Am I the only one that doesn't like
that? You're the only one who says it.
I guess I walked right into that one, didn't I? All right, so... You know, we move along in this life, and this walk with God, really, we do have, boy, if there's anything we need to be, is humble. Because we come up short a lot. We think we know things and we don't know things. I think a lot of times we walk into this room and we figure we know what's going to happen today. Yeah, you know, we're going to do this, and then we're going to do that, and then, you know, the ball guy gets up and says something, and then there's this that's going to happen, and that's going to happen, and yet we really don't know what the Spirit wants to do with us, and I want to be this way, you know, where I come in and what is God going to do, and you know what? This is where I think one place is in modern American church. People are looking for the spectacular, this grand display of God's power. Now, He can do that as He pleases, and I don't mind that at all. But what I'm saying is, I think that the American church is trying to make it happen, to make God do things, and in fact be so open to wanting to feel His Spirit, wanting to have some grand thing for Him, it isn't like it's wrong totally, but it is wrong to want to have this happen, to show God's glory, that we end up putting our hand where we open up to not the Holy Spirit, but to another spirit, a spirit of darkness that poses as a spirit of light. If we're coming into a time of deception, we better be aware of that. We better be careful of that. And I have already, I have told you this, that there's things going on in the Christian church, in very popular parts of the Christian church, where lots of young people go. And they have opened themselves up to things that they should not be opening themselves up to. Because they're looking for the miraculous. They're looking for something that really goes outside of what the Word allows to be. You know? Are you hearing me?
Example of that.
Yeah.
We sent our daughter to life, our middle daughter to life school. She wanted to really get to know God. As a well-known Bible school, I won't mention the name, but she found that in the worship services they were communicating with two-way radios, trying to make things like God was doing something.
Yes.
And she saw that and it sent her back. I don't know if she's ever recovered.
Stop for a second. Did everybody hear what Glenn just said? Would you repeat that again, please?
Yeah, she went to Bible school to...
Bible
school. Well-known Bible school. And she wanted to get closer to God, and she found... And Stacy's not stupid. She saw that they were using two-way radios to communicate, to make it look like God was doing stuff.
And when hear this?
When she saw that... It's shut. I don't know if she's ever recovered from that.
Yeah. This is happening in the church. They're doing it because they want the Lord's name to be lifted up. Oh, look at this grand thing. But you know, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who built it. If it's the church trying to make Jesus look like he's there and powerful and doing all these things, it's not going to work. It's going to produce yuck at the end of it. They think they're doing something right, but they're really doing something wrong. This is, oh boy, I'm telling you.
It's a lie.
It's a lie. It's deception. Now, there might be some people here thinking, well, you're just closing everything down. You're not going to allow the Spirit of God to move. We want the Spirit of God to move in here. But we don't want lying spirits posing as the Spirit of God. We don't open ourselves up to just anything just because the name Jesus is mentioned. Do you understand this? Because Christians, more than any other people, are naive as the dense. Naive. Somebody says Jesus' name and, oh! That might not be so. God told me this, God told me that. Really? I'm supposed to accept that because you say it? There better be a witness inside people's hearts, number one. And it's not wrong to be cautious, is it? And that's all we're talking about. Cautious enough so that we don't get led down the nose, you know, pulled off in some direction we don't need to be going in.
Malcolm, I feel like I have to make a point about, because sometimes I point out different things that happen. When God wants to move, he lets it happen, you know?
Yes.
And so sometimes you still got to be able to point those times out. Like this morning, when I prayed about not being deceived.
Yeah.
I didn't talk to Malcolm.
No, we didn't talk. We didn't talk.
I didn't even know. I didn't even know what I was going to pray about.
Yeah.
But it just kind of lined up with what he went with.
Yeah.
That's God working.
Yeah.
So when God works, it just naturally happens. You don't have to fabricate anything.
Yeah. It's organic. God just pulls it together. It's going to be the natural consequence from one thing to the other. When Reggie prayed what he did, I went, thank you, God. That's confirmation. That's confirmation for me.
Right.
But it's also confirmation to you to know that what's being said by Reggie, by me right now, by what all the people that enter in into this, that there God is speaking something to you and me for us to get today. He's done this probably every week. You know? He's faithful to us if we are faithful to Him. And we're going to hear the message, the rhema word, the right what we need to hear right now. There's so much going on in this world, in all the different realms, but in the church realm too, and we need to pray for our brothers and sisters because they're getting caught in things that they should not be getting caught in. And accepting things, accepting unrighteous things, and covering it by saying, well, we've got to love. Yeah, we've got to love, but we also got to say if something's wrong. Don't we? So, and the way all of that gets done, you know, I'm not going to pretend like I have all the answers to any of that. But I do know that if we're gonna be conformed to His image, then we have to stand in and say what is true, what the Word of God says about particular behaviors, conduct, character that isn't right. Mm-hmm. Don't we? Mm-hmm. As the church. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if churches don't want to show how tolerant they are and want to show they got a false idea of what love is, where they can't say what needs to be said about particular behaviors, then those churches are open to even more deception because they're not holding to the character of Christ, are they?
Lost their compass.
They've tossed the compass away in a lot of ways. The scripture talks about not using vain repetition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not supposed to just say the same thing over and over and over again, as though, like in prayers. Hail Mary, fully grace, Lord is with thee, blessed art thou. I remember when I was a Catholic, and we'd be doing the rosary. There's nothing wrong with that prayer, Hail Mary, full of grace, when you say it. But if you're saying it over and over again, and it's just routine, it's just repetitive stuff, and there I was, holding the beads, Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord is with thee, and I'd say it this fast, Lord is with thee, blessed art thou, most holy, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of death. Amen. I know this. I know it because I said it so many times. And then I go to the next beat and I say the same thing. Routine, no heart in it. It was all. This is what I'm supposed to do, so I'll do it. And there's nothing in that. What we do has to be true. Has to be right. So this vain repetition is bad. And just be careful with songs that you hear where it's the same words over and over and over again. Just be careful. That's all I'm going to say. Saying you can't listen to it, but you want to be careful about that.
Why?
Repetition.
It's almost like it's programmed mind. You open your mind up for being programmed. You do this repetition, and then a person says something, and your mind accepts something that might not be true. Just be careful. That's all.
It's no method of brainwashing.
It is. It's It's a way to open up a person's mind, repetition, you know, same thing. And then you hear something and your mind is in a beta mode, not in an alpha mode. It's beta mode, which means it's passive and it's very receptive to whatever comes in. We don't want that.
Don't you think it sometimes can work in the opposite way, for instance, when you hear it like over and over and over,
not within the same period of time. Yeah.
No, but it's a truth. But then what happens when you keep it, it diminishes that meaning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So it takes away from the meaning that you should be receiving from it because you get, it's just like letting go.
Desensitized.
Yeah.
You know,
the way of glory that was intended.
Yeah, the intention gets twisted. See, this is where the enemy comes in. Because it isn't that it's all really bad stuff or wrong stuff. It's taken and then twisted, and it's not the intent of the Spirit. And John, you want to say something?
I was just going to say, there's a trend with a lot of those songs, and I think a lot of the worship styles trying to make the songs about your experience.
Yeah.
So the song becomes, I want to have this experience with God, as opposed to, I worship God whether I want to or not, because God is worthy of being worshipped, and you just do it. But a lot of the songs are sort of, you know, God come down to me and give me this experience, and I know you're here, and it's going to rev me up, and I'm going to have this, and I'm going to have that. And so it's like, well, it's not really a worship song. That's a you asking for something song.
Yes. Yes.
It just tends to be a very common trend in a lot of worship.
In lots of modern day American church.
Straight off, like, wow, that's terrible. No, it's saying, you know, you want an experience with God, but it just seems to be self-focused.
Yes. That's exactly what it is, John. It's a focus on self instead of us focusing on God. We're looking for God to do something to us. And this is false. I'm going to say it this strongly. It's false worship. You can ask God for things, pray for things, for God to help you with certain stuff, but that's not worship. If we come into a house of worship and we're worshiping the Lord, the song should be a lifting up of the Lord. Shouldn't. And I think we need to be cognizant, aware of that, so that we don't fall in. Because the spirit, this deceptive spirit, wants to bring you to that, to make it all about you, all about me, and what I need. When it really is to be us in thankfulness and appreciation for what He's done, giving to God the glory He deserves. That's what true worship is all about. Yes. Worshiping Him in spirit, in the right kind of Jesus attitude, and in truth, really worshiping Him, not using Him to get something for yourself and myself. We have to be aware of this. Because that's what true worship puts our focus on Him. What?
That comes to mind when the Lord warned the people of Israel that anyone that tried to duplicate the anointing oil and make their own anointing oil would be cursed.
Yeah.
It's a false anointing.
False. Mm-hmm. False. There's a story of, I can't think of it, Cosby and... there's a story, it's in Exodus or Numbers, one of those, where this Israelite man comes in with a Moabite woman into the congregation, and Phinehas is ticked off to see this Moabite woman come into the congregation, because she's not there to worship God, she's coming in when they're not supposed to be mixing together, and she's coming into that, and Phinehas took a spear and drove the spear into both the man and the woman. the words for those two names, and I don't remember, I think Cosby is one of them, I'm pretty sure. But it meant false worship. That's what those names meant, put together. Isn't that interesting? God is not looking for just a worship that we decide we're going to give him. He wants a true worship. Those that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. So as much as we know, we want to be aware of this and give to God the worship that he deserves. There's enough deception. There's enough falsehood. Within the church realm, we don't want that to be happening, do we? I don't know if I want to go to the next step. I guess maybe to sum things up, you know, there's more and more lies. There's this battle for what is true. The information that we hear in this world and what we hear even in church is being battled. And there's opposing forces to pull us in one direction or another. The heart of this message is follow Christ, allow the Lord to work on your character, cry out. I'm crying out for God not to let me just drift away from what he's calling us to. Because it's easy. And I'm concerned for the church. I'm concerned for myself. I'm concerned for you. I think we're in a good place. But we don't want to, after hearing truth, to let it go by. Let it drift away, like it says in the book of Hebrews. Let's stay sober about this. Because there's a lot of deception, and we can get pulled away. Couldn't we? So Lord, I just pray, you've given us a lot of warnings because there's a lot of things to be warned about. And Lord, especially in this time of the age, I just pray, Lord, that we see it for what it is, and Lord, we know that we don't have to be concerned if we're focused on you. That if we have the right compass, and we want it to be you, Lord, we don't want things to be pulled to ourselves. We want to worship you. We want to serve you. And we don't want to use religion to get something for ourselves. Salvation is a gift of God. It's gifted to us. I thank you, God, that you love us, that you died for us. We don't need to have all kinds of manifestations for us to know that you died on the cross for our sins, that your Holy Spirit lives within us. But Lord, whatever you want to do, and when you want to do it, our hearts are open to the moving of your Spirit within us and through us. But God, we do not want to move in a false spirit. We don't want to follow a different Jesus or a different spirit. We want to be on the highway of holiness, the highway, Lord, that leads to you. Jesus, you are the way, and you are the truth, and you are our life.